Venture X from Capital One is the travel card for people always asking,
where next?
You earn 10x miles on hotels and rental cars and 5x miles on flights booked through Capital One Travel and 2x miles on everything else you buy with Venture X. Plus, receive premium travel benefits like access to over 1,300 airport lounges. The Venture X card from Capital One. What's in your wallet?
Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com for details.
The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
Independence, Ohio.
Changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bringing to light the enemy of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left on this 26th day of October 2023. Indeed, this is the voice of the Christian resistance, and it will be until the Lord comes back. And tonight we have our producers, Style and Ken, are our producers. See, it takes two of them to produce this program because of its content. And good evening. Go ahead, Ken. Say good evening. All right, there you go. You did it. Oh, no, we want to go. My special guest tonight is Pastor Jeff Calhoun. Hey, Jeff, are you there?
Hey, Pastor Ernie, how are you?
I'm doing okay. Jeff, here's how I'm going to start out tonight. I got this here, prayer request from a lady, Virginia Allen, about a seven-year-old girl by the name of Jaeda Andrews. Little Jaeda has four seizures and had to be flown from her home in Durant, Oklahoma, to Dallas, Texas Hospital. And after a few days, they said she was okay. Then about a week later, she's had another scary seizure and has to be flown back to Texas again. This time, the little girl has to wear a helmet around her all day long. And her family, the Andrews family, is asking for us to pray. They believe in prayer, and we do too. In fact, we just had kind of it was one of the Lord's miracles Sunday night in our church. One of our men one of our big Tea Party fellows had really having a tremendous amount of pain in his legs and didn't know if he could even walk. And we put him in a prayer chair. The pastors laid hands. We anointed him with oil. We prayed over him. And when we were finished, he stood up and he had this look on his face like he couldn't believe it, like it actually happens. There are actually miracles. God still does heal. And
amen.
I know about that because it happened to me some years ago. And so let's do this. Let's pray for this little girl. And we want to ask all of you folks out there all over the country. Jeff, would you like to pray for this little girl, Jaeda?
Absolutely.
Would you pray, and then folks, please join in with us, and I will be praying along. Go ahead.
Father, we come to you in Jesus' name on behalf of little Jaeda. And God, we know that you hear the cries of your people. We know, God, that you are a miracle-working God. All throughout your word, God, you say, pray that you sit in your word and you healed our diseases, that by the stripes of our risen and glorified Savior, we are healed. And Jesus, I just think about the man who brought his young boy to you, who was thrown into seizures and even thrown into a fire in danger of dying from them. And he said to you, Lord, I believe, when you asked him. He said, I believe, but help me with my unbelief. So, God, we know that there are so many of us that when we face these kinds of circumstances and situations, that we believe, but we wrestle with unbelief. So we pray right now, God, for Jaeda, that you would surround her with faith and with people of faith who will pray believing. We pray, God, that you will bring forth elders of the church to anoint her with oil and lay their hands on her and pray for her healing. And Lord Jesus, we pray that by the power of your Holy Spirit, that you would move in her body and that you would set right everything, God, that is out of order. You are a God of order, a God of wholeness, a God of healing. And we pray, God, that by your Spirit you would move in Jaeda's body and that you would set everything in order, every part of her nervous system, of her immune system, God, of her circulatory, her muscular system, every part of her body, God, that you would move and set it in order and restore her in Jesus' name, to complete, full, and total health. Rescue her, God, from this disease. Rescue her, God, from this infirmity, and restore her health. We pray in Jesus' name, and we are confident, trusting in you, God. We are confident in offering little Jaeda to your care, because you are the one who loves her more than we could possibly imagine. And your desire for her is to give her a future and a hope. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. I thank you very much. We got one more prayer to pray, and I'll pray that. And it's about the peace of Israel. And so let's pray. And if you folks would join me out there again tonight, remember, there's power in prayer. So you can put your power, add your power to this. Heavenly Father, Lord God, as we gather here tonight, you've told us to pray for the peace of Israel. So, Lord, we're doing that. We're asking, Lord, that instead of having war and killing and so much suffering out there, Lord, in Israel and Gaza, instead, Lord, there's repentance. This is what we want. Instead of war, we want repentance, Father God. Lord, yes, it would be good. It would be good to have all of those lay down their arms and look up and call upon your name, Father. This we ask in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Amen.
All righty. Tonight, my friend, we are going to start in our scripture in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. I think you know where I'm going with this, okay? So if you have your sword of the Lord there, let's start. And maybe we'll just take it maybe a verse at a time in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Dare any of you, having a matter against another, go to law before the unjust and not before the saints? So he's telling us, one, the Apostle Paul is making it kind of clear. We have what? We have an obligation, and our priorities, okay, are to go before each other. Right now, today in America, Pastor Jeff, I can tell you, if the church today in America is going to get any justice, we're going to have to provide it, because the whole government's been weaponized against us, hasn't it?
It absolutely has. It absolutely has. And that is, something that the church has to repent of, because it's a duty and a calling that God placed on us as Americans, because our system is one where the people are supposed to rule. We're not supposed to be ruled by legislatures and executives and the judiciary. The people are supposed to be the ones who oversee, who superintend, and we've abdicated that responsibility. We've laid it down. We've been fed, and Christians are guilty of this, we've been fed a steady diet of bread and circus, and we've been content to enjoy our nice things while shirking our responsibilities, and we have to take it up. And, you know, our litigious nature and culture in America is just one of many, many, many evidences of the fact that, God's people have stepped out of the public square. We've stepped out of the arena where we're supposed to be leading.
All right, so here, verse 2 says this: Do you not know that the saints shall judge the world? And if the world shall be judged by you, are you unworthy to judge the smallest matters? Now, today, you have this mindset out there amongst some, supposedly, in the church that think that humility is being submissive to the tyrants, and that the church, to show humility, should be submissive to tyrants. But isn't that exactly the opposite of what the Word of God teaches from Genesis to Revelation? Isn't resistance to tyranny obedience to God?
Yeah, we confuse humility with weakness, and forget that humility is actually a posture of submission before the supreme ruler of the universe, who is our high king, in whom are all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge, who holds all things together by the word of his power. And we are his church, his people, his bride. His spirit lives within us. And to think that that he would call us to submit to tyrants. You know, the early church, you've probably heard the story of the Theban Legion, which was a legion of Roman soldiers in around 288 AD, who had all converted to Christ, and they refused to utter the word "Caesar is Lord," because that was required. Whenever Caesar came into your presence, you were to utter "Caesar is Lord," and anytime you were commanded by a Roman official, you had to ascribe to Caesar lordship. And these Roman soldiers in the Theban Legion had converted to Christ and had swore their allegiance to a Lord greater than Caesar, and they refused to bow their knee and refused to declare Caesar as Lord. Now, the entire legion, it cost them their lives, but it also led to a great outpouring of God's work in the Roman Empire that eventually led to its collapse. And we need that kind of heart and that kind of boldness and that kind of resolve and that kind of fidelity and commitment to the lordship of Jesus needs to return to the church.
All right. Well, he says, "Know you not that you shall judge angels? How much more the things that pertain to this life?" Now, these angels that we're to judge, often people will think that those were the fallen angels, but the fallen angels have already been judged. Do you think that this is kind of like a bema seat judgment for angels, not judged on whether they've fallen or sinned, but whether judged on their performance and their duties?
Well, yeah, I think it's a part of that. But I think, you know, I think the message here is that God has placed us in a unique position, and that is that we are the beneficiaries of God's work in Christ for our redemption and salvation. Because, you know, the word says, I mean, all of us were guilty every one of us. And there were none who were righteous, not one. And the scripture says that while we were yet sinners, God reconciled us to himself in Christ, that he was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not counting their sins against them. So we were all in this place of helplessness. The word says that while we were yet helpless, Christ died for who? The righteous? No, he died for the ungodly. And so we have this this unique place as the recipients of God's redemptive grace and mercy, which the angels know nothing about. It says that we're partakers in things that angels look upon and wonder. And so that's why that God has placed us. The word says that we are literally seated with Christ in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority. That's our position now. We have been seated with Christ far above all rule and authority. And that includes the rule and authority of angelic spiritual beings in that realm. We've been placed above them. And because of our experience of God's saving grace, which is unique to his sons and daughters, that angels have not experienced, it gives us a unique place to be able to judge rightly, because we have an experience of salvation and of redemption that the angels don't know anything about, and it allows us to occupy that place that God prepared beforehand that we should walk in. And so I think it's all to the glory of God. It's you know, his grace is incomprehensible. It's too wonderful to even comprehend. We can't even contain the magnitude of it, but yet we're the recipients of it, and we're the trophies of grace, the storehouses of grace, where the very Spirit of God dwells to manifest his redemptive and restoring and saving grace. And so, you know, it's a glorious picture that Paul is painting.
Well, he's kind of saying that, you know, we are the heirs of the kingdom, and the heirs of the kingdom is a whole lot different than being put on a terrorist watch list because we believe in Christ.
And quite the contrary, Pastor. Not only is it contrary to being put on a terrorist watch list, but what the American people need to understand, and especially the church, what the church needs to understand is that, yes, we are joint heirs with Christ, who is the High King of the universe, and we are seated with him in heavenly places. And it's because of that God, in his wisdom, ordained and established this republic where the people themselves were the reservoir of sovereignty and authority. That's because God wanted his people. And what did Jesus tell us to pray? He said, "Pray, our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, and your will be done." Where? On earth, as it is in heaven. And so we're supposed to begin to give a picture of what righteous, humble servant leadership, gracious judgment in truth and in righteousness, what that's supposed to look like when it's administered by the people of God. And in our republic, unique to any other system of governance in the history of human civilization, the sovereignty rests with the people. And God had an intention and a plan for his people to assume that role and to step forward in that duty to literally enforce the rule of righteous law. We were supposed to do that, not our agents in government. We were supposed to do that, and we were supposed to do it through the primordial institutions that that had evolved through English common law, which God was at work in to establish righteous governance, and that is through the grand jury and through the lawful militia, both of which are bodies of the people, not arms of the government. And we have shirked that responsibility. We've been deluded into thinking that it wasn't our responsibility, that we were to leave it up to our elected servants to police themselves and arrest themselves and check their own corruption. But that's the opposite of what God intended when he established and ordained our republic and brought it into existence. He vested us with that authority and that sovereignty. And it's the biblical picture of ruling and reigning with Christ.
All right, I'm going to get to that because I've got some questions I'm going to ask you here in a few minutes, but we got to finish this scripture first. And then I'm going to ask you a couple questions. Maybe they're tough ones. We'll see. But let's go back to verse 4. If then you have judgments of these things pertaining to this life, set them to judge who are least esteemed in the church. Well, he's making a point that even a brand new born again Christian, a babe in Christ, is better qualified to rule justly than a judge that's been on the bench for 40 years that's not saved. Is that not true?
It's absolutely true. And why is that? Because the scripture says that we have the mind of Christ. And the mind of Christ is where all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge reside. And so God has in his divine wisdom and grace, has invited us to be partakers of his wisdom. And what did James say? If you lack wisdom, ask God, who gives liberally without partiality.
Well, that word has been changed, isn't it? Liberally. But here he says in verse 5, "Well, I speak to your shame. Is it so that there is not a wise man among you, no, not one, that shall be able to judge between his brother?" Now, in Corinth, what was it that the Corinthians always prided themselves on when they went to the pavilion in town and they gave their weekly orientations and speeches? They prided themselves on wisdom, did they not?
Yeah.
Boy, did Paul lay one on them there, didn't he?
The Jews want to see signs and wonders, and the Greeks want wisdom.
Yep. But then he says this, "But brother go to law with brother, and that before the unbelievers. Now there is utterly a fault among you because you go to law one with another. Why do you not rather take the wrong? Why do you not rather suffer yourselves to be defrauded? Now you do wrong and defraud your own brethren." It's really not smart to drag. The Lord Jesus said, go to him and work out, come to your conclusion and your compromise before you go into the heathen courts. Because when you go into the heathen courts, the court wins. You don't win, do they? The courts always win, don't they?
Yeah, well, that's what he says there in verse 7. He says, the fact that you have lawsuits among you means you have been completely defeated already.
Then he goes, and let me go with verse 9, because now we really get into the days we're living in today. "Now you know that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor the effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind," sodomites, "nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but you were washed, you are sanctified, but you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our Lord God." Now, here, if you've been born again, then you have been sanctified. You've been washed. But if you have not been born again, then all of that list of those things still apply to you, don't they?
Yep.
And so, and this is what we're up against today. You know, the Bible talks about, every place in there he talks about, on the right refers to righteousness and power, but on the left it refers to unrighteousness. And isn't it something how today, if you believe in God, you believe in country, you believe in decency, the word of God, righteousness, they call you a right winger. But if you believe in embracing everything that the word of God calls sin, they refer to you as being on the left. Isn't that amazing that here, the Bible that was written thousands of years ago told you it was going to be that way, and it's exactly the way the word of God says. All righty, we're going to be back. Hey, you listen to this, Jeff, because this is the way I feel. I bet you do the same. I'm fed up.
We're fed up with the Green New Deal and the socialists who created it. We're fed up with the attacks on our fossil fuel and energy industries. We're fed up with an open border. We're fed up with human trafficking. We're fed up with fentanyl flooding our country. And we're fed up with illegal immigration. We're fed up with critical race theory. We're fed up with boys competing in girls' sports. We're fed up with... We're fed up with the liberal media, Twitter, Facebook, Google, and YouTube for blocking conservative speech. We're fed up with our government and universities censoring conservative thought, canceling debate, and rewriting history. We're fed up with the corruption in the FBI, the Department of Homeland Security, the CIA, the NSA, and the FISA Court. We're fed up with mask mandates, vaccine mandates, the CDC, the NIH, the WHO, and the misinformation campaign surrounding COVID-19. And we're fed up with Anthony Fauci. We're fed up with the politicians and the elitists in D.C. who are getting rich while the middle class falls further behind every year. We're fed up with Joe Biden, with Nancy Pelosi. We're fed up with the January 6th Commission and those people who think that they can gaslight us. And we're fed up with Liz Cheney. November 8th, we're taking our country back.
All right, this is what this program is all about tonight, taking our country back. And we've got to do that. And unless we're dedicated to doing this, unless we repent and call upon the name of the Lord, and what we really, really want is revival. But tomorrow night at 7 p.m. at Doers of the Word Baptist Church here in Northeast Ohio, folks, 14781, that's 14781 Sperry Road, that's Sperry, S-P-E-R-R-Y Road, in Newberry, N-E-W-B-U-R-Y, that's N-E-W-B-U-R-Y, Ohio. We are going to be having the Tactical Civics meeting, and so we're going to be talking about taking our country back. So tonight we have here with us Pastor Jeff Calhoun from Tactical Civics. And Jeff, let me just start out and ask you a couple things. First of all, you had referred to how our with the Constitution, how it evolved, but it went from evolving into the government, the republic we had, to apostatizing and mutating into something that's not even close to what the Founding Fathers gave us, didn't it?
Yeah, it has been happening for over 160 years. It began in earnest with Lincoln's War, and he executed his office in ways that were, by any honest measure of his actions, was tyrannical. And since then, corporate interests, bankers, have literally bought our federal government. And now we have representatives that corporations have as pets, and they do their bidding. Most of the legislation that comes out of Congress is written by corporate lawyers. It's not written by the people that we supposedly send to Washington. And so they have transmogrified our republic into what we call the cheap imitation of Europe.
So let me ask you this. And I was reading this thing here called the Constitution. The Second Amendment says that a standing militia is required. Well, we used to have a standing militia, but that was replaced with a permanent military. And what happened to our militia, Jeff?
Well, that is a story that takes about 9 hours to tell.
I know.
We have a podcast called Who Killed America's Militia? And it is a brilliant and literally riveting survey of, and it was done very strategically. It was done little by little by little. It was done through deception. It was done through deceit and duplicitous actors. And it ultimately resulted in the creation of what we have now, which is this massive global military complex that exists to feed itself and to feed the industry that it supports. And it is it's a blight on our nation. Our foreign policy is a blight on our republic. And it is an abomination to the vision that the founders had from the beginning. And it literally has, and so they didn't want militia to exist because the militia is the people acting in their constitutionally stipulated authority to execute and enforce the laws of the Union, and our highest law being our Constitution. And our militia had a primary function to keep government in check if they were to step outside the bounds of the Constitution. And we have instances of that in the founding generation. They used to do this. Like, they used to actually not only deal with criminal activity by citizens or the public, but they also put a check on government. And the government, they feared the people because the people were bearing the sword of enforcement on our elected servants. And that's something that Tactical Civics is committed to and has a brilliant plan to restore that law enforcement authority and the mechanism to execute it through lawfully established county militias.
We had three presidents, Eisenhower, Reagan, and Kennedy, that all three warned us about the industrial military complex. And of course, you know, they suffered for doing that. But they warned us, and this is what we had not that long ago, a few years back. John McTurnan, Chaplain McTurnan, and myself had an ongoing battle with the War College and the Pentagon because they had written papers stating that because, and they quoted from Zechariah chapter 14, 13 and 14, and Ezekiel 36 to 38, that because the Church of Jesus Christ, because our allegiance was to the Lord Jesus and not to the armies of the world, the United Nations, that Christians should not be allowed to serve in the military. And that was their argument, and we had a going on-air battle with them on that. And, of course, they, you know how they work. They twist things, and they'll come out one way, and the next few minutes they'll deny they ever said it. But anyhow, so when we take a look at what you're saying there, we've come up with this thing through tactical civics, but is it too late, or can we still reclaim America?
Well, Pastor, here's what I believe, and here's what we remind people of all the time, is we are where we are because of God's judgment. God's people have, by and large, stepped out of their calling and their duty and responsibility that God has given us to superintend our government. We've shirked that responsibility, and we are reaping the fruit of our own sin. And you know, one of the things that Paul says in Romans 1 that God gives us over to when we choose our own way over His ways is stupidity.
Yeah.
And you know, and we seem to be pretty rich in that. But here's to your question, is it too late? Like, is it too late or is there still time? Because we're under God's judgment, we have however much time God gives us. And in tactical civics, we believe that we are acting in response to a call that God has made on our hearts. And so our primary first mission, first and foremost, is to call God's people to repentance, to turn away from their addiction to nice, pretty things and ease of life and comfort, to turn away from apathy and selfishness, and to take up their cross, to do the duty, to lay their lives down, to serve God faithfully. We're calling Christians to repentance. And if a righteous remnant of God's people will turn and begin to serve Him faithfully and educate themselves on the original calling that God gave His people in our republic to literally be a shining light to the world, to literally be a place where the law of liberty could actually flourish, the perfect law of liberty. If God's people, if a remnant, would just turn, then I believe that God will lead us to a great restoration. And, you know, and sometimes the world just changes. And so we just believe that we have however much time God's going to give us, and we can't. We're not in control of that. The only thing we can do is to faithfully respond, to sincerely and.
Well, kind of works this way. God has expectations of us. He has expectations, and we have obligations to Him. And so, our obligations is to clearly, whether we believe we have time or not, our obligation. It's just like if you're in the military, you know, whether you can take the hill or not, you got your orders, you got to do your job. And as Christians, our obligation is to be obedient to our Lord. That is what is demanded more than any other thing in Scripture. God demands obedience. Now, in the days of Jonah and Nineveh, when the king of Nineveh repented, what was the outcome?
The entire nation. Entire nation put on sackcloth and repented and came to God. Didn't make Jonah very happy.
Well, no, it didn't. What about the days?
He must have gone to one of those liberal seminaries or something.
Yeah. Well, Jonah had to go back to his people. And after the way the Ninevites had treated his people, he didn't want to be the one to say, hey, guess what? It was me that got them to repent. They wanted vengeance is what they wanted. And so
yeah.
And so he didn't want to be the one to have to go back and tell them. But anyhow, I think here's what he found out. It's much more beneficial, okay, to please God than it is to please your people, huh?
Absolutely.
And so,
and something that the people of God need to be reminded of is we all must give an account of what we did with the treasures and the gifts that God gave us. Like, we all have to give an account. And, you know, if God's people think that they can shirk their responsibilities and then enjoy a happy homecoming, well, they're going to have to answer to why they shirked their responsibility. Why did they choose comfort over calling?
Are they going to learn? Like, we just saw what happened in Nineveh. But then if you go to back to Genesis chapter 6 in the days of Noah, Noah preached 120 years to repentance. And the people refused. And 8 billion people paid a big price for it, didn't they?
Yeah.
So God kind of means what he says. Like when he went to Sodom and Gomorrah, he meant what he said, didn't he?
No doubt.
Has God changed? He's immutable. So has he changed any at all?
No, he's the same today, yesterday, and forever.
Okay, so it's not up to us to wonder whether or not we have the time. It's up to us to give it everything we have. Our job, our duty, our obligation is repentance in America to restore this nation back to the nation that he gave it to us, one nation under God. We do it for him. We do it for the sake of the children.
It is entirely unbecoming of a follower of Jesus to worry about the future or to be overly concerned with or speculate or discuss about how much time, because what did he tell us? He said, don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow has enough worries for itself. It'll take care of itself. And what day did he say was the day of salvation?
Today.
Today's the day of salvation. And, you know, the funny thing is we worry about tomorrow, but every time, my dad used to say this, every time tomorrow gets here, they play a trick on it, and they change the name of it to today.
Yeah.
And so we have to do today's work today. And today's the day of salvation. And so, you know, seek the Lord while he may be found. Don't put it off. Don't wait. And don't even ask the question, do we have enough time? Well, when is the day of salvation going to be? Well, it's going to be today. And so as long as today is still today, as long as your eyes are open and the sun is shining, it's today. And that means it's the day of salvation. So repent and demonstrate the works fitting for repentance and do the work. Do the chores. Fulfill your responsibility. And that's what we're calling people to do in tactical civics. That's what we're calling God's people to do, is quit avoiding and shirking your civic responsibility as the sovereigns in this country. Do you not realize what a blessing you've been given to literally be put in the place of sovereignty of this great republic that, that God ordained. Well, then take hold of it. Take hold of it and serve and do the work that is fitting for one who is an heir.
I heard something one day. It was called government of the people, by the people, and for the people. And, you know, in the Bible, when we talked about should we be concerned, 366 times in Scripture it says, fear not. I get it. I mean, I get it, right? And so right now, we're at a time, we have to realize what brought us to the point that we're at here today. It was apathy and ignorance. And yep. And where God
that's the
was,
real AI that we should be concerned about.
yeah, you're absolutely right. But where our Lord was really dishonored more than any place was where he told you judgment begins in the church and in that pulpit. But here, Jeff, there's something happening here in Ohio, and you're probably being in Kentucky pretty well aware of what has taken place with Issue 1. Now, Issue 1 is absolutely, it's right from the pit of hell. It is what they want to do is they want to amend the Constitution in Ohio to make abortion, you know, for any reason, not only for, you know, do they want to promote and push? And I'm talking about these people, Jeff, are the very same people that are behind the child trafficking. You've got all this dark money. These people are corrupt as corrupt gets. And here in Ohio is one of the largest states in the entire country where it comes to human trafficking, child trafficking. And also, what it would do is it totally takes away all parental rights. It removes. In other words, here in Ohio, if you've got a 13-year-old girl gets pregnant, and she says, "Well, I'm going to go ahead. The teacher told me I should go and abort and kill this child," and you say, "Oh, wait a minute, no, forget your teacher. I'm your mother or I'm your father," and she said, "It doesn't matter because now they amended the Constitution. You don't have any rights. I can do whatever I want. The only right you have is to pay for when things go wrong." And so that's exactly what these evil, and Jeff, I'm going to tell you, these people behind it, it's not just say, well, now they're on the political left and you're on the political right. No. No, there is an evil there. There is an evil there. There's a darkness there. And, you know, here's what, it kind of reminds me that some of the people in the country, Jeff, it's kind of like there's a big house, and we're sitting in the house one day, and we're all in the kitchen drinking coffee, and somebody says, "I smell smoke," and someone yells out, "The bedroom's on fire," and people say, "Well, not to worry, we're in the kitchen," right? That's the mindset of some of the people we have out there today.
Yeah.
That's what it reminds me of out there. And so but now here's what's happening in Ohio. Jeff, you know, here, these pastors before, you know, you couldn't get them motivated. But now they understand that they will have no parental rights over their children and their grandchildren. In fact, Jeff, under this, the way this has changed, if in fact you have a daughter who decides she's going to go and become a boy, and you say, "No, you're not," and you try to stop her, you will be charged under this for committing a crime. You will be charged,
yeah.
Okay? And not only that, Jeff, listen to this. When it refers to those that assist you, what they call reproductive rights, first of all, there is no reproductive right that a woman in Ohio doesn't already have. They have all the reproductive rights out there. But here's the thing. If, in fact, you have a 14-year-old decides to abort her baby and she gets a 13-year-old to help her do it, you don't even have to be, you can't even prosecute them because it doesn't even say that when it comes to your reproductive rights, you even have to have be a licensed abortionist. I don't call them doctors because they're not. They're abortionists. They're baby killers. But this is how bad this legislation is. It is evil, ungodly, wicked to the bone. And do you know what, Jeff? There's not one person, and these apostate preachers here in Ohio, that are promoting this, there's not one of them that have the guts to come on this radio program and sit across from me. Do you know? Not one of them. Because
I tell you, and here's what, you know, I think people miss in this whole discussion, is that the reason legislation like this abomination that they're trying to put forward in Ohio, the reason that this exists is because our government no longer, they have zero fear of the people. We are irrelevant to them. They have gotten to the place where they feel emboldened to do whatever it is, whatever kind of insane and radical evil they can dream up, that they can do it. And if the people don't commit themselves to restoring their authority to enforce our highest law and make our creatures of government have a godly fear. Isn't that what Romans 13 says? It says that God has raised up those in authority in order to produce fear for good behavior. Well, yep. In our system of government, that's talking about us. We're the ones that God has raised up in our republic, in our nation's founding. The ones that God raised up in authority was the people themselves, not our government. Our government were seated in seats of servitude and subjection to the sovereigns, which was the people. And if we don't get serious about restoring our authority to enforce the Constitution and put a check on corruption and arrest and hold to answer for their crimes corrupt public servants and their agents in government, if we don't get serious about restoring that authority and that proper place of action with the people, which is exactly what Tactical Civics is doing, I would encourage everyone that's listening to your program to find out where your meeting is going to be and go there and sign up. And if you can't, get on the website, tacticalcivics.com, and join us, because what we're doing is we are engaged in a process that seeks to honor our High King Jesus and to restore his people in their rightful place of authority as the sovereign in this republic, and to return righteous government and make these perverts and psychos have a healthy, godly fear where they might even repent. But we've got to get serious about doing that.
Yeah, we have to put the fear of the Lord in them. And you do that with obedience to the Lord. And that's how you do that. We're going to be coming up to a break here in a minute. When we come back, I want you to go through and take a good look at the mechanics of Tactical Civics, because we're doing it, and it's moving pretty quickly here with us. And so we're coming up to a fast break. Hang tight. We'll be back after this. We've got a whole lot more to come. Don't go away. More to come.
Fight the fight. Take the stand. Light the light. Feed our land. Let's come against the night.
Thank you for listening to What's Right, What's Left, the voice of the Christian resistance. To support this ministry, head to WRWL.org. That's WRWL.org. Mail your donations to What's Right, What's Left Ministries, 14781 Sperry Road, Newberry, Ohio, 44065. If you missed part of tonight's program, you can check out the podcast at thewordcleveland.com. thewordcleveland.com. Once again, thank you for listening and supporting What's Right, What's Left Ministries, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. The second hour is coming up next.
We get it. You're busy. You don't have time to waste on the mainstream media. That's why Salem News Channel is here. We have hosts worth watching, actually discussing the topics that matter. Andrew Wilkow, Dinesh D'Souza, Brandon Tatum, and more. Open debate and free speech you won't find anywhere else. We're not like the other guys. We're Salem News Channel. Watch anytime on any screen for free 24/7 at snc.tv and on Local Now, Channel 525.